Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Daria.
Talking to me?
Hello and welcome to Arya Talking to Me, a Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon podcast hosted by a couple of funny little fellows from Melbourne, Australia. My name's Ben Vanel, and joining me is a perfectly healthy Adam Knox.
That's me. I'm healthy as hell. This is what I sound like when I'm at 100% capacity. I'm the grossest sounding normal voice man you ever heard in your life. I'm so fucking sick. Please excuse my the way I sound. And the horrible attitude that I bring when I'm sick as well for this episode, please.
Of course, we're going to talk about episode 7. Don't know the name of this one. I didn't look over the
Driftmark. You
know. Now, why is it called Driftmark?
You might have seen that character named Marcus who gets into a car and then dum dum da 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 dum. That would have been more recognizable if my voice was. I'd have done it at the proper register. It would have sounded like a Tokyo Drift bell. But he's drifting around. The whole thing takes place in Driftmark.
It does. It does. I saw it referred to as a bit of a bottle episode. But, you know,
yeah,
it's a big ass bottle.
Yeah, if a dragon flies out of the bottle, I don't know if that counts. This isn't the fly.
No, it's not. It's not. Yes, if you have emails about or thoughts about the show, you can email it in, or you can Instagram us. We're at Arya Talking to Me on Instagram and ArayaTalkingToMePod@gmail.com. We're getting closer to the end of this season. A lot of shit is happening, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. No spoilers, obviously, for the book, but theories and opinions and facts are most welcome. And while I'm at it, you can review the show also. It really helps us. It's surprisingly effective in terms of getting us on the charts and stuff. Well, obviously, we have like a million downloads per episode, but weirdly, it is new subscribers and ratings and reviews that help us. So Spotify ratings, Apple Podcasts ratings and reviews, and tweeting about it too. All of that stuff is wrapped into whether you appear on the charts. We'd really, really appreciate it if you could do that.
That's true.
I'm sick. Help me out. Please review. I'm so sick.
As we figured out in this episode and obviously the entire show, you got to stick together. You got to keep your friends close and your enemies far, far away. And
100%. Make sure you're never in the same place as your enemies for a full day and night, or they'll try to stab you.
That's right. Let's get into it. We'd love you to review our show, but we're going to review the show House of the Dragon. Episode 7, Driftmark.
Yeah.
We are near the end of this season. We are coming up to, what I assume will be a couple of climactic episodes in this, the end of season 1. But we're here at a pretty pivotal point, and shit be bubbling over.
I remember it was sort of episode 8 or 9 in Game of Thrones seasons where like the big thing would happen, and it definitely, some shit's kicking off this. That we open up with the very first shot. I won't spend too long on it because it's 2 seconds. It's someone putting a rope through, like a little metal loop on a piece of rock. It's Thingo's coffin, but I really thought it was a cat's paw coming in to like swipe at the thing. It really looks like a cat's paw if you go back and watch it, and I guess have like a little bit of mucus in your eyes or whatever I have. So
yeah, a bit of non-COVID brain fog.
I was weird. Oh yeah, I don't have COVID, but I was weirdly thrown for the first bit here. But we get a funeral ceremony for what's her name.
For Laena, for the dearly departed Laena who burnt herself to death using a dragon.
Apparently because, and I don't think the last episode made this particularly clear to me at least, the child had died in childbirth. I didn't realize that it was already dead. That
no, me neither.
Is something I think, read yeah, later.
We thought that she was like, she didn't want to get cesareaned to death and just, yeah, was taking herself out and the child. But that makes more sense, I guess.
Yeah, apparently that, I don't know if it's from the books or what, or if we just sort of didn't quite. I mean, I know what it is to be a mother, but I don't know. So mm-hmm. I don't know why I wouldn't have understood her, but.
Sure, just sort of instinctively have that empath sort
easiest
of
easiest job in the world, yeah. But like, if I.
But you usually watch it with captions on as well, don't you?
Yeah. I've got.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was the show's not making it clear because the doctor and him and Damon were talking about it just like a couple seconds earlier, being like, oh, we can get the kid out maybe. So it looked like she was running away from that. But whatever, she's dead, burned herself alive and is getting, you know, full honors at.
I think that was the speech at the funeral, right? Whatever, she's dead.
Yeah, that's why Damon laughed at one point.
That was odd, but that I also that was fair enough because the bloody it's like one of the relatives, right? Or was it like one of the you know the generals was giving a real like, hey, at least her kids have non-bastard blood.
Yeah, they got thick blood in there. Well,
yeah,
not her anymore. But like, yeah, that was I think her uncle who was giving the
right.
speech because he goes up to
right.
Thingo, head of the
to family,
call us later
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right.
Says brother. And so anyway, yeah, he's given some speech. Everybody's there. Mm-hmm. They've all come up to Driftmark to say goodbye to the king's estranged brother's wife. And I guess also the sister mm-hmm. of the king consort. So that makes sense, I suppose.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I was surprised. I didn't. I mean, obviously, we don't look into the upcoming stuff for the show, but I was kind of surprised that all of these vulnerable and important people decided to get into the one
right.
spot. Even for this pretty important funeral. But that turns out to be this whole episode. It's those dynamics playing out,
and it's so well done. It is simmering with this like tension and the everyone's standing on tenuous footing, and it just feels like a red funeral's about to happen the whole time. It's really well done because this whole next sort of sequence, there's like a wake on a balcony, and they're all, it's just everyone kind of reestablishing, you know, walking over to each other being like, do I like you? Not really. Walking back over, everything's awkward.
Yep.
Look over your shoulder, I'll give a mean fucking glance. And it spends like 10 minutes doing this like little recap of where everyone, how much everyone rolls their eyes at each other.
Yeah, it's basically like the first night during Melbourne Comedy Festival where everyone goes to the artist bar.
Sure.
Everyone go like, oh, who am I jealous of? Who am I friends with? Who's been talking shit about me?
What weird fucking girl's just holding a spider in the corner? Fucking creepy ass.
Yeah, that's literally seen that before.
I was fine with the millipede. The millipede or the centipede or whatever. Go nuts. But fuck spiders, dude.
Yeah. Justifiably. Because she's betrothed to her brother, right? That's re-established. Is it brother?
Not her brother. Her, I guess they're cousins. Because she's betrothed to either Jace or Luke. I think Jace. Who will be the future king.
That's right.
So, and I guess they'd be...
But it was Aegon and Aemon were, like, making fun of that.
Yeah, they'd be like... Cousins once removed or some shit? I don't know. Ask me anything about cousins.
But we also got reintroduced to Otto. You were right. I think I kind of missed it at the end of last episode, but he's back. He's hand. He like flicks out his lapel to show everyone the hand badge.
Always knows where the camera is, Otto. a photographer's dream.
And it is, I you know, Reese Fiennes is a great actor, and it's cool to have him back in the thick of things. We both really enjoyed his performance as Otto.
Yeah. I'm loving every actor in this show, to be honest. Like, even the kids are doing a great job, and they get a hell of a scene to fuck up later on if they were going to, and manage not to, in my opinion, but...
Yeah, I liked it.
We've got Lionel.
This was a fucking dark scene, though.
It is.
Visually.
We get this daytime funeral for a moment. And just to recap the sort of people who were there, there's Lionel Strong having a look over. It's Lionel, right?
No, that's the guy who died.
What's his kid?
Larry. Yeah.
He's been just staring at the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen Cole comes over. He's like, "Is this dude fucking? What is he? I think I must have seen him on the message boards that I on. I assume it's. Is he a fellow incel?" And like, yes, but he's just looking at her out of pride. But like the kids kind of all get along, other than the Queen's kids. But Damon's kids and Rhaenyra's kids, they're getting along.
Yes. Yep.
I guess that's important to see. And we also kind of get like a bit of Corlys being nice to those kids. So even though he kind of knows what's up as well, he sees those kids as his grandkids.
Yeah, yes, totally. Yep.
Anyway, you're right. It goes to dark after we see, just after we see fucking, God damn it, man, I'm bad at names most of the time. And now I've got a fucking virus in here being like, forget everything. What's his name? Rhaenyra's husband.
Leno.
Leno. Jesus. Four letters. And it's not even his real name, but I could remember the... Anyway, he's waist deep in water, just standing out there having a paddle. And it looks a bit weird. But anyway, so yeah, it's a bit of chatting. The king asked Damon to come home as well, is I suppose the one other sort of bit that happens here. And then everyone...
Put aside our grievances. It's been too long. Yeah. Come back to where you belong.
Look at my...
Which he said about four times.
Yeah, yeah. He keeps on trying with him, and Damon keeps being like, dude, I'm done.
Yeah.
This ain't happening with you and me. But maybe there's someone else here. So all like the drunk kids get put to bed.
Yes.
including Leno. But Aemon slips under the radar here. He has a bit of a look at a dragon in the sky that to me looked like my own reflection looking at the laptop, because fuck me, it was dark.
It was so dark. It's like they chuck a bit of torchlight into the kids scene coming up, and then it gets a bit easier to see. But like, I closed my blinds and curtains and everything, and I could not see a fucking thing.
It was incredibly dark. I really did not need to look at myself in the mirror of the laptop screen that much while I'm feeling like this. But I got to have a good examination.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Corlys and his wife are having up in their big ass bedroom.
Yep.
They're kind of chatting about like these fucking kids. And you know, his wife's name.
Rhaenys.
She's like, Corlys, fucking let it go. You're just ambitious. Cut it out with this shit. You know they're not your kids. You know, like, I've given up on being queen. Similar thing that she said a couple episodes ago.
Mm, yeah.
And she, but the difference being this time, she flat out tells him, like, this is you. You're doing this for you. Stop pretending it's for me. And he's like, well, yes.
Right. What reason is there to live except, or you know, what purpose is there to life other than to establish your legacy? I think is his sort of thing. Yeah,
a depressing way to view the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, you know, it makes sense, I suppose, in the context of you know how he's been raised and where and all of that.
Yes, exactly, exactly. If you're born into a royal family, you are probably going to be concerned about the idea of legacy, even though it's guaranteed.
Though, as Rhaenys tells him, like, everyone knows those grandkids are not anything to do with us. Like,
yeah.
But he tells her, like, hey, look, a name is the most important thing, and they'll have our name. So,
yeah.
And I can kind of see where he's coming from.
But yeah, like as she said before, like. No one's going to accept Rhaenyra as a queen, and she's got bastard sons. So, you know, maybe just open your eyes a little bit.
Hey, we might as well keep trying with these kids, because our son won't die and he can always go off somewhere else, I suppose.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I believe Rhaenyra and Damon are having a walk on the beach. It certainly sounded like that.
Yeah. I had to turn the volume up. But yes, Rhaenyra and Damon are reunited, and she's like, you know, hey, did you love her? And he's like, hey, we were pretty happy, you know, all things considered. And she was like, yeah, but why did you shut me down when I was like 14 or 15, you know, and we were going to make out?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, I wanted to protect you, I guess. And she's like, well, I'm a grown up now. And then they hump on the beach.
When we last met, I was but a teen step cousin stuck in a washing machine. But now I'm a full grown lonely MILF. And it's time. But also tells him about how her and Leno legitimately try for quite a while, which I guess was kind of a question we had from before of like, did they ever give it a shot? And like, yes, it wasn't working out.
Yep. Yes.
So kind of nice to have that confirmed. But yeah, she lays it back on with him and is like, look, we should fuck again. Because Harwin was cool and he was nice to me. Ain't nothing happening with my husband.
Mm.
Ain't nothing happening with you now.
Yeah, your wife be dead. So let's shag.
Uh-huh. And they find like some weird cubby that someone's made on the beach. Some fucking like, you know, Burning Man surfer guy has come down and built himself a little shack. And they, I believe, again, have sex inside of there. But this was the most realistic thing because every time I've ever had sex, the lights have been fully off and I close my eyes. And just think
and
about
not
my
sure
reflection.
What happened. They have a little love shack. While they're having a love shack, Aemond continues to suss out this dragon. He finds it. It's also like down on the beach somewhere, right?
It
like it's curled
first,
up in a big ball.
It looked as though he had spied Rhaenyra and Daemon, but I don't believe that was meant to be the case. He's just running through some brush and finding this enormous dragon who's sleeping on the beach too. Again, just a bunch of surfer hippies living around Driftmark.
Yep.
And he, similar to Rhaenyra, tries it on with a dragon.
Yeah.
And the dragon's into it.
Yeah. The sparks are flying.
It's
the
weird.
The sparks are flying.
I guess it's weird. Is it weird that Lena's old dragon came to the funeral?
No, because they're like sentient.
Yeah, I guess it's like the dog in the Tucker box where it like...
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
If that dog immediately went off with a new owner.
Yeah.
Or Greyfriars Bobby or, you know, I'll try and email us and I'll tell you a local dog that slept near its owner's grave for a while.
Yeah, there's one in Tokyo as well. I forget its name. It's in near Shibuya Station, but so many loyal dogs. The one from Futurama.
Yep.
Yeah. Not this one. Whatever the dragon's called, I forget.
Vega,
that's right. It immediately goes over to Aemond and is like, yeah, cool, I'm your dragon now. You've got a full-grown, the biggest dragon in the world, right? Yeah. That's what we learned last episode.
And Vhagar definitely likes Aemond because the subtitles here, when the dragon is sort of huffing and puffing at Aemond, the subtitles say Vhagar purrs. So imagine having a dragon lion on your chest, putting you to sleep. That'd be great.
Fuck,
a little bit of purring calming you down.
That'd be sick. And then you get to go fly around. Perfect.
He does, yeah. Has a big fly around, nearly gets killed by a flock of birds, nearly falls off, but enjoys himself. And has bonded with this dragon, the one kid who, you know, didn't get to have the dragon bond and was made fun of and all of that.
Totally.
Finally gotten the thing that he's been envious of his whole life, which, as we know, will never immediately turn someone into an enormous cunt.
I know, right? It's so, going from being resentful and insecure to having some form of power. It's right there. It's right there on the surface in this episode. And it's pretty good. Like it's not an awful, you know, social commentary, even if it's not meant to be. But what happens? He flies home. They see him riding the dragon.
A few people kind of see him up in the sky. I don't know if anyone knows it's Aemond, but they're like, what the fuck? Vhagar's flying around. Who's got him? Because Rhaenyra and Daemon down on the beach, they've finished up and they're out there having a look.
That's right.
But he goes back home and walks through some tunnel where the twins and Jason Luke are, what is it, Baylor?
Baylor, I think, is the younger and Rhaena is the other one.
Right. I think Baylor might be the older one because they say something about wanting a title to go to Baylor.
Oh, that's right. She's the older one, but she's the one who doesn't have a dragon.
I think possibly. One of them was the one that Daemon never really paid attention to. I forget which twin is which, but they're here.
One of them doesn't have a dragon and one of them's older. That is a fact.
That may very well be a fact. Ask me anything about twins and cousins. they're there and kicking off about, like, that was meant to be my dragon. That was my mum's dragon. Yep. Fuck you. And he's immediately like, you can ride a pig. You're the one who has to ride a pig now. I'm no longer pig boy. You're pig boy.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if it's fair or not, but he's like, well, I got there first. So you could have got there if you wanted to, but I got there first. So, you know, finders keepers.
It kind of sounds like that's how dragons work from what other people have said so far. Like that you've just got to go claim a dragon and that's what... you know, their mum had to do, and that's what Daemon did. It seems as though that's the way dragons work.
And I guess if the dragon didn't want him, it would have rejected him. Right. So, yeah.
The second that someone's husband or wife dies, or their dragon rider, you swoop in like a dragon yourself.
While they're vulnerable. That's right.
It's quicker to manipulate someone when they're feeling sad. What's confusing about that?
Well, one of the twins, well, both of the twins are feeling sad and upset about this. And, Aemon's provoking them. He's being a little shithead about it.
Straight away.
It's one of the twins that gives him a whack, isn't it?
Yes. I think it was Baylor first, and then they all kind of jump in. There's a big scuffle, and it really starts picking up. Aemon grabs a big rock and is about to hit, I think, Luke with this... Yeah. Huge rock in his hand when Jace pulls out a little switchblade that, tell you what, that kid's fucking cool as hell, dude. Kid walking around with a knife? Damn, son.
Yeah, and he knows how to use it, too.
He owns Frankston, dude. But
I did love before this, the lead up of like three or four just like straight punches to the face.
Yeah.
Just kids punching each other in the face.
Really having a big old-fashioned like... It makes me think of those books, like, I don't remember if there was ever a fight in Stig of the Dump, but, like, that sort of stuff of, like, just old Liverpool. This is how the Beatles would have fought.
Yep. Before would hurt your hand.
It would hurt your hand a little bit, but you got little kid hands. Kids heal.
Oh, true. It's like the baby's head. The skull is, like, made up of several pieces and it fuses later on.
Yeah, and the softer bits hand. Bounce off of things. So it's fine.
Exactly.
That's the bit you want them to get hit on.
Yeah, for sure.
Before Aemon clubs Luke with this rock, by the way, never touch a baby's soft bit of their head. I know I don't need to say that. I know I don't, but there's a part of my brain that's like, say it. Take it back. Anyway, before he's about to club Luke with this rock, he throws in a like, you little fucks are bastards. Everyone knows who your dad is. And that's what brings out the knife.
Yeah, that really fires him up. And then slice, a big old slice upside the face.
Because he called Jace Lord Strong.
Yeah, that's his actual dad's name.
Lord.
Yeah, Lord. Named after the New Zealand-based singer.
So actually, Jace loses the knife and Luke is the one who cuts his eye.
Okay. Sorry, and Luke is the younger one,
Luke
right?
is the younger.
Yeah.
And he really gets him with a good upper swish and that's when the Kingsguard decide to waltz in.
Yeah. After the extremely disfiguring injury has been planted on the face of the young prince.
A dangerous blade. It's you've got to be careful with dangerous blades. What you want is a safe blade.
That's right.
Especially if you're going to be trimming your bastards downstairs.
That's right. If you want to, don't take one of your testicles out. Use Manscaped's products and you won't lose any of your body.
These blades
only hair.
Are safe to drag on your balls. Manscaped make good things. We've used them. They're not what made me sick. I'll recommend them heartily as something that I've used in health before. I use them. The lawnmower is like their main thing. It's like a very good electric razor that is specifically made for like your genitals and your more tender areas, but you can use it anywhere.
Yeah. If you had extremely conspicuous and identifying white dreadlocks and you wanted to shave them all off to maybe go undercover, you could use the Lawnmower 4.0. It has a bunch of length attachments, so you can start shaving it down. You can even take the length attachment off and go make it smooth as a baby's head.
Oh, I only just got what happened at the end because you said that.
I zoned out for the bit of the funeral scene, but I locked into the very final scene of the episode. The lawnmower, I've used it to trim my face, my facial hair. I've used it to do some edges when I've got a haircut, stuff like that. But yeah, obviously it's a body grooming electric razor. Got to get the weed whacker too. Trim your nose hair, trim your ear hair, keep things all trim and terrific. They've got, a whole bunch of products. You can get any of them from manscaped.com. And if you want to get them cheaper than their registered retail price, and if you want to get them freely shipped to your door, you can use the code ARIA. That's ARYA, like ARIA from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a lot of things you missed both in this episode and just in terms of the way we run our business. ARIA is the code. Manscaped.com is the website. And we do heartily and sincerely endorse them and thank them for their support.
Good products, good gifts, good golly. It's another big meeting of a bunch of people who fucking hate each other here.
Oh, yeah.
Some little hole. They're all kind of assessing the damage and a lot of people just having a bit of a fucking sticky beak. There's too many people in this room for what's happened.
Yep. Yeah, and for what happens next, there's a lot of very sensitive and uncomfortable home truths that are being told in this, open training session, essentially.
It's bizarre how many people are here, but they're sewing up little Eamon's eye, and the Maester tells him, the eye's fucking gone. Look at him. Of course it's not coming back.
Yeah. He'll recover, but he's got no depth perception anymore. He can't shoot a bow and arrow.
Yeah. And so Alicent kind of admonishes Aegon for having been drunk and not being there to help him out.
Yes.
And then starts admonishing everybody else in the room. she absolutely goes in a tear about this. And I feel like it makes sense because we've seen her, the kickoff point for her is her kids.
Yeah, yes.
If they're threatened, that's when she lights that green fire or whatever and is off on one.
She doesn't care about Viserys, really, but yeah, the kids are the real claim to, or potentially the real claim to power for her.
And I think it's partly about the power, but she does seem to be genuinely quite an anxious sort of, safety concerned mother, because she's like this with
a helicopter parent or a dragon parent.
I guess. A spinning dragon parent.
Just
fucking the dragon vomiting, feeling terrible about how fast it's having to turn around to stay in the air.
Yeah.
And everyone's yelling at each other. They're all trying to talk over each other, saying, oh, well, it started because of him. No, they did it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And the king is having a hard time getting everyone to sort of listen to what he's saying.
Listen up. Hey. Everyone, listen up.
Here, I can do an impression of him without having to even change my voice. Hey, everyone. Oh, God.
He looks a lot worse than you do. I'll tell you that right now. He's fucked. But he still has his wits about him to an extent. He doesn't seem, brain addled. He's just real weak. And but he does get everyone's attention and he's like, hey, shut up, everyone.
It's less about the physical weakness and I think it's more that just Alicent in particular is not listening to him.
No, that's very true. It seems like for a while now, and yeah, we noted this last episode, she's basically been exerting her will. She's kind of in control of things.
Right.
And that's probably fair enough in terms of, she's the queen. She can do that.
So Viserys is trying to sort of get to the bottom of things and asking people, what happened. And she keeps speaking up being like, well, fuck them. They brought a knife here. They were going to kill my son. It's them, And Rhaenyra is saying it was an accident. She's like, fuck you. I'm Alicent. I'm flipping out over here.
She wants to take an eye.
Eventually she does. She gets pushed into that point because or doesn't get pushed, it's still insane. I'm not saying that she it was a smart thing to do in a corner, but Rhaenyra starts saying, guess why this fucking kicked off so bad?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
because
yeah.
your kids or Aemon started throwing out vile accusations at my boys.
That's right. Viserys somehow is still oblivious to this. He's the only person.
Yeah. I think, I mean, he must have heard it and he must sort of know and be keeping the blinkers on like a couple of people have sort of thrown at him. But
yeah,
he wants people to say it because he's going around being like, what? What rumors?
Mm.
Like he wants this. It looks like he's like desperate for this to reach a point where he has to do something about it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
He just wants things resolved at this point, so he's trying to get everyone to stop with the fucking, like, talking behind everybody's backs. Put it all out in the open.
Yeah, and is it Rhaenyra who steps up and is like, hey, apparently people have been leveling these accusations that the children are not Laenor.
Yeah, they're all kind of tiptoeing around it because, like, at one point they're like, okay, well, where's Laenor, their father? And Alicent is like, he's probably, you know,
fucking
a guy.
Boys.
Yeah. To which Kristen Cole has a funny little laugh.
God, he's become a real grimy grease ball, this guy.
I hate him. The little fucking, you know. Oh, Alicent just rickrolled everybody in this room.
Yes, that's exactly the tone of it, isn't it?
But yeah, Viserys is trying to get Aemond in particular to be like, what did you fucking say and where did you hear it from? He's not even asking what did you say. He's saying, who told you this bullshit?
Yes.
They know what it's about. Where did you get it from? He eventually says, and he looks over at his mum first. She's clearly been
told. He does. He looks at Alicent and everyone in the room looks at her, but he doesn't sell her, you know, sell her out. He doesn't throw her under the bus. He says, my big bro,
Aegon. And then when Aegon is questioned, he just says, everybody knows it. I heard it from everywhere.
Yeah. Which is the smart thing to say and is the truth.
Specifically from Kristen on the message boards that I as well am a part of, I assume. Mm-hmm. I lost NoFap, everybody. I jacked off out a window during No Nut November.
But he's having chats with the mod CC_JordanPeterson.
There's Discord in the family. Oh, cool, I'm on there. Anyway,
we are on there.
Everyone is. Anyway, it doesn't really get, like, it doesn't reach a point of resolution with that particular thread. At some point, Aegon just goes like, everyone knows it. And Viserys starts just yelling in general, we got to stop infighting, please.
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane.
And everyone listens to him and they stop infighting immediately.
He directly makes a command as a king to make up with each other. So what option would they have but to obey the command of their king?
That's right.
Or to demand an eye.
Yeah. So that's, Alicent is like, well, you know, we can only agree to, you know, settle things if we've settled things. It's only fair if one person's had an eye removed, we take one of the boys' eyes.
Yeah. Now, I know a man. Let me turn my chair backwards for a second here. I know a man who might have had a bit of a problem with this. His name? One-Eyed Joe.
He knows from experience.
But an eye for an eye makes the whole fucking world fucking blind.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I thought it was I before E except after C.
That's not the case.
I see. I'm wrong.
No. C I.
E I.
We just went after. But so yeah, that. She lays out this insane idea that they should cut out a little boy's eye deliberately. Them as adults rather than these kids fighting with each other.
Yeah.
And luckily, everyone else thinks this is crazy.
Yeah, this is stupid. Don't do that. And so what does she do? She tries to fucking just do it herself.
Even Kristen even radicalized Kristen is over in the corner. She's like, well, you're sworn to me. And he goes, as a protector, not as a fucking children eye stabber.
Right. Like he in this case, believes in the justice system. He's like, let it take its course.
Yeah.
You know?
Cops are just doing their jobs.
Biases. Yeah. But it's the system. We've only got one system, so... Yeah, but she goes rogue.
She absolutely goes rogue. They all kind of tell her it's crazy, so she whips out a knife. Also, interesting that she earlier had leveled the thing of like, okay, well, they brought a knife to this fight, so they intended to kill my son. Well, how come you got a knife right there in your pocket then, Allison?
Yeah, I think she intended to cut someone's eye out.
She yanks it off of somebody else. I'm wrong.
Oh, okay.
I missed that.
It's not the knife, is it?
I think it's the knife. I'm watching this bit back. She takes it out of
Chekhov's knife.
I think she takes it out of the king's waistband.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I kind of missed that little detail, but that's the knife.
Yeah,
which,
fuck.
This is the knife that goes on to kill the Night King, right?
I believe so, yeah. The Valyrian steel blade, yeah.
Heck of a knife. Been through a lot.
Well, and also, who does it kill? Ned Stark?
No,
or is
that's
that a different knife?
That's a big, big sword. Kills him.
Oh, yeah.
They
that's
chop
right,
off his
yeah.
head. I'm sure it kills other people, but right now, even though this
knife kills everyone,
goes through a lot.
That's what I think. It was in the Red Wedding. It's been every. It's the Forrest Gump of knives.
Sure, yeah. It's also used to cut off Alfie Allen's dick. So it's
yes,
been a shrimper, similar to Forrest Gump. Anyway, yeah, it doesn't cut anything off right now. She doesn't manage to put it through an eye. Accidentally, so like Rhaenyra steps in. They're both kind of struggling with this knife here, having words.
They're doing a knife version of a Mexican standoff, which is just holding both of each other's arms.
Right. Dancing. And so they, a circle forms around them. Everyone's like, don't intervene for some fucking reason. Mm. But like, no, get the knife off of her.
That's it. Exactly. One of you, Kristen, go over and just take the knife away.
Take the knife. But they don't do it for some reason. And they have time in the middle to be like, fuck you. Well, fuck you too. And Rhaenyra, like, even Otto is like, drop the fucking knife, Allison. But
yes. Yeah.
Rhaenyra says to Allison, like, here you are. There you are, Peter. I knew you were in there. It's hard for you to pretend to be all nice all the time, but this is you.
Bangarang. Bangarang, Peter. Yeah, which is such a shame because, I mean, I did think that there was a bit of a leap last episode to her becoming so kind of selfish and driven and aggressive, which I thought she had sort of been manipulated into that position as the younger version, but this is who she is now. She's fully, she's happy to be at war and she's fighting.
I think that she was pushed into it, but then after having kids, she's been pulled further into it by them. Like I think,
right.
You know, being brought up that way, even reluctantly for a while, you've got the freedom of it all being a little bit safer back then and having this friend who she then did lose through the manipulation and stuff. And she got more and more isolated. And, you know, I think that she thinks she is doing what she has to protect her family, you know.
Right.
Same as Rhaenyra.
Yeah, that's true.
But that all kind of winds down a bit. Rhaenyra gets an accidental cut in her wrist. And then Aemon says, like, you can drop it. It was a fair exchange, an eye for a dragon. That makes the whole world dragon riders.
Yeah. Why didn't you say that at the start, you little cunt?
Yeah. You could have maybe stopped this knife part from happening, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I guess it is an interesting little dynamic where Alicent is the queen by marriage. Rhaenyra is still the heir. So it's like, I guess they're like even, like no one can punish the other one. So no one's getting like hanged for treason.
And it'd be up to the king who's not going to do a fucking thing because he's got soft spots for these two people, which much like a baby's head is a vulnerability.
That's absolutely right.
But Otto, the returned hand of the king, mm-hmm. he likes what the he sees. Hand.
He's the second hand.
He is.
Hand.
He's the antique hand of the king.
Yeah.
The Facebook marketplace hand of the king who comes in to congratulate Allison on being a conniving little fuck.
Yeah, he's like, finally, you're playing the game. I didn't think you were evil enough, but now you've proven that you're evil.
Yeah. I thought you were a big loser, but then you tried to stab the future queen, and now I think you're cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's proud of her. Which, it's funny because I think, like, we've seen his schemes fail. Probably because they are too manipulative. They are a bit too transparent.
Right.
And there's nothing, she's going for it and she's putting stuff on the line and she's, you know, making moves. But I think like her father, she's a little bit obvious about it. She's not very subtle.
She has not necessarily the benefit in general, but the benefit in this particular situation of she says this to Otto just here as well. She's like, well, they're already whispering about how I've gone mad and all of that. And I think,
yeah,
her being viewed as less than because she's a woman might aid her in flying a little bit more under the radar in those terms than Otto did.
Make
people dismiss her a little more easily, which would be a mistake.
Right. Because as people have said about Rhaenyra and it happened with Rhaenys, people are still going to discount women in it's even if they are a monarch.
Right. Or a monster.
Yeah.
Otto tells her, good on you, chill a little, but good job. Rhaenyra gets a whole bunch of stitches in her arm.
Mm.
And here comes Laino. He's woken up looking hungover as hell.
Yeah, missed the whole fucking thing.
The whole thing.
She's surprisingly not furious at him.
She's sort of already given him the, like... And I guess she did tell him, hey, I'm going to bed, and then went and fucked her uncle.
That's true.
So maybe she doesn't have too many legs to stand on, not like a spider.
Yeah. Ugh.
But they got way too fucking many, dude. Creepy little shits.
They got upwards of 7.
Fuck off out of here, bug girl. Honestly. Go back to the centipedes. But he comes in and tells Rhaenyra, like, hey, I've been fucking up. I get it.
Mm.
My boy toy Carl is going off to fight. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to be a good ass husband.
Yeah, I loved that from him. I didn't see it coming. I thought that it was going to have to come from her. She was going to be like, what the fuck? Where were you? What are you doing? You know, we got to stick together. But he knows that and he steps up.
Right.
He steps up as the stepfather that he kind of is. That's going to be great. He's going to stick by her side. They're going to work together, and that's going to lead to strength in their family.
I wonder forever. If, because she gave him that sort of speech of like, hey, come on, what are you doing? And it didn't really click until, obviously, his sister dies, and maybe that makes him rethink things, and, hey, I've only got this family, and this is the closest, you know, I could lose it all at any time. But he seems genuine about...
Absolutely.
...sort of re-pledging himself to her.
Well, and yeah, and she what she does say is like, hey, you're a good guy.
Right.
That's extremely rare. Like, because he's down on himself about being gay and that leading to all of this, you know, these complications when it would have been easier if they could have just had kids. And she's like, hey, you're like one of the nicest guys in the world. You're honorable. You're trying to do the right thing. Like, yeah, I appreciate it.
Anyway, turn around. Ignore this knife.
Yeah.
The king and Allison are on their way back home, and he's like, don't fucking talk to me about it again. Like, he's just so blinkers on.
Just put my blanket on and shut up.
Right. That's his real weakness. Like, the sickness and everything, whatever, he's still got his mind, but his mind just wants to ignore everything that's difficult. And hey, I feel you, brother. It works. If you can live it out, if you die before they get you, then you've won.
Absolutely.
But everyone's off back home. On their various ships and dragons.
Yep.
Other than Daemon and Rhaenyra, who are still there at Driftmark, having a scheme.
They really are. They're like, hey, look, we're back together, you know, romantically. You know what would be actually good is if we were back together politically. we're strong. Our family is the Targaryen family, yeah. You know?
Well, my boys are strong, like, at least.
My boys are strong and we need to make them Targaryen. Or we need to make some new boys that are Targaryen, I think is the, you know. So, yeah, they reckon that they should get together and be Targaryen strong. Hashtag Targaryen strong.
And they're not like, or at least Daemon is like a little more apprehensive than Rhaenyra about it this time.
Mm.
She's super sold on the idea. I think as a safety precaution as much as anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do think that she is approaching it primarily from a tactical position of this is the best decision I can make right now, as well as having some weird fucking thing for her uncle.
Yes. But yes, to legitimize their family and I'm assuming have future kids. I don't know. I don't think they say that, right?
No.
But that, and to even have if legitimate they, kids.
Even if they did, those ones wouldn't be the heirs anyway.
Unless they were like, someone was like, no, those other two are bastards, and they, you know, disinherit them or something.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
They have a little chat about how, like, fire's a prison and it just destroys things as well, but the sea is an escape, and maybe the Valyrians?
The Valyrians. You were very close the first time.
Were maybe smarter for taking to the ocean rather than...
Yeah.
Being dragons, but hey, let's be double dragons, even though we've just talked about how fire is dangerous. Speaking of dangerous, yeah, fucking Larry over on the boat is coming up and be like, do you want me to get that kid's eye? I'll get
yeah.
it.
I'll get you an eye by tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I'll scrape it out with my teeth. I don't give a shit. I'm fucking psycho.
I'm a crazy man. But she's like, no, but I do appreciate you a bit more now than I did last episode.
Right.
Because things are kicking off and you need to get your allies around you.
And look, she understands how important it is to have a big dangerous thing that you can use as a weapon. Like, I think she recognizes how dangerous this dude is and how much he would absolutely turn on her. But I think she's confident that she can continue to be his best course of action as well as him being hers.
Yeah. Yep, I think so.
If that makes sense. But yeah, so Rhaenyra and Daemon have a bit more of a chat about, okay, if we're going to hook up, you've got a husband, remember, so what are we going to do about Laino? Oh, let's just pay the guy he loves and who I assume loves yes. him to go and yes. murder him for like a little fistful of gold.
Yeah.
You fucking idiots.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I think... in retrospect, that they just didn't show the other half of the conversation where Daemon goes, I mean, by, you know, kill him, I mean, make it look like you killed him, throw the servant boy in the fire and escape.
I could imagine that, or either Daemon or Rhaenyra or someone told him that. I guess maybe, yeah, this is them. Their plan is not to kill, but to...
to remove.
Well, I'm watching it right now and I'm reading those things. By the way, Carl, normal name, spelt with a Q.
Oh, Q?
It's a Q. Q-A-R-L.
Fuck, I thought it would be like maybe a C-A-A-R-L or a double L maybe, but fucking hell.
Nah, it's a Q.
Okay.
So
right.
the specific thing he tells Qual is a quick death, one with witnesses.
Yes. So yeah. I'm suggesting maybe there was an off-screen conversation.
Yeah.
That clarified. Yeah.
There clearly has been. Either between, I guess the options are, Daemon's in on it as well, and they all did it together. Rhaenyra went up afterwards and was like, "Hey, let him live. You guys just whatever." Or Carl was like, "This is what they want me to do, but let's fuck off together." But clearly,
right.
It didn't happen by chance. I didn't even know until we did an ad read earlier that it had happened at all. Because all I could see was my own reflection in the fucking monitor.
Yeah, I know. I sat right up front of the TV at that point. But I guess if I had to guess, what would the show do?
I guess because Daemon comes in and kills one of the like guards or whatever walking around. So he's already murdered someone, and I assume that is who they've thrown in the fire.
Oh, sure, that makes sense.
Because then there's another
kid
who's there with them, who at first I assumed that was who they'd thrown in. But but it must be this other kid Damon's broken the neck of. He's in there too. Yeah. The other kid runs off to tell them about the fight. Then they come back and see this third person in the fire.
Yeah. Yep. So that's the plan.
Yes. So Damon.
That's the plan. Everyone's in on it.
By him doing it, they must have all been in on it. But right. So here's this fake sword fight that they're having.
Yes.
Which, you know, pretty convincing. Gives him a big punch.
Yeah.
But okay. They've set this up ahead of time.
Yeah. I wonder if we sound stupid. I wonder if this was meant to be obvious, because I didn't really, you know, I didn't think through it. I was just like, oh, well, somehow they've figured it out.
I think it's not too plainly laid out. Like, obviously, we've figured it out from what's in the show, but I wouldn't have straight away understood this if I'd have just stopped watching the show and gone on with my day.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have remembered the show because I'm delirious right now.
Yeah. Well, there's not much more to go in the episode.
No. So, yeah, as this sort of plan is being carried out, Damon says something. Because Rhaenyra's like, well, look, we can rule and, you know, I think it'd be pretty good and everyone would accept us. They'd love us. And Damon makes the point again of like, maybe, yeah, you want their love and respect, but you need people to fear you and you need people to wonder what we're capable of.
Yes.
At all times. So they're kind of, this is the equivalent of a reference point that everyone will understand. That episode of Hey Arnold where he pretends to be crazy to scare off a bully. He's banging his head with garbage can lids.
He's like,
I'm psycho, you don't want to steal my lunch money or whatever.
Yeah, and then he fakes the death of his husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good political move. They're assuming that people are able to see through it and be like, oh, well, shit. Carl didn't really do, you know, like they're just, yeah, they're seeing the scheme for what they're trying to make it appear to be. And fear them because of it.
Right, exactly. They want people to think that Leno was murdered by his wife.
By his wife, yes.
His ex-wife, because she immediately gets married to Damon. They do a bunch of blood stuff, which is disgusting.
Yeah, I did not... because it's a bunch of close-ups of, like, putting blood on their... And I was like, what is this? Oh, it's the fucking wedding.
Yeah, they're cutting their lips in half so that they can kiss each other with blood and do all of that stuff. Not for me. Some people like it. You know what? Not for me.
I'd just go down to the town hall and do a civil service, get the certificate, and go to
it. I'm happy to do the ceremony. Just cut the blood part out. Don't cut it out, but, like, just skip it, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But yeah, Carl with a Q, and Leno are off to Pentos, I guess, or to Essos, which is the name of the continent I kept forgetting last week, of the eastern continent, Essos. But
how could you forget that? It's the word east, basically.
Westeros and Essos,
yep.
Northland and Southland, where I go to the nearest Apple store.
And Eastland.
They're off. I missed that was Leno.
That was Leno, yeah. Yeah.
But he shaved off his hair and he's sailed off with a dream and a boyfriend.
That's right. So that's it, right? That's the last. Is that the last shot?
That's us.
Yeah. Great episode. It's funny because a shit ton of stuff happens and we love the politics of it, but it also feels like it's a place setter, right? It's like, okay, now we're ready for probably full fucking maybe like civil war, right? Like this is gonna be what's the word, escalated even further.
Yes, because it starts off, everything's already tense, and the way it was filmed was so great to have that funeral scene, to have nothing happen in it but feel so tense the entire time, and like everyone there was just fucking seething at each other. And it's kicked off enough during this episode that everyone has their thing that they're going to want revenge for, or thing that they're going to need to try and prove to someone else. They've all got exactly like you
they've
said.
They've got
the
leverage,
point.
Right? Yep. Like some of them have more power. Some of them have reason for more ambition.
And an instigating incident that I could see happening soon, especially with the way that Viserys is looking as he's in that cart going off, is the death of the king.
Totally. But yes, we haven't looked forward. We haven't watched any of the previews. No. We don't know what's going to happen next. So don't tell us in your emails, but we'd love to hear what you thought of this episode. If your TV brightness had to be adjusted, as did mine, whose side are you on? Do you feel like there are clear cut, you know, factions that you feel that you personally support? You know, I feel like I've automatically drifted to wanting to see like Daemon succeed just because I think he's like a fun character. And I think Rhaenyra's been put into the position where she's had to fight rather than, you know, really striving for it herself. Like, it feels like she's on the defensive. So, I feel like a bit of sympathy or empathy for that. But I'm curious to see what everyone watching, you know, whose side are they on?
I think those guys, for whatever reason, are the ones who seem to think they're the most entitled to winning as well. So, I don't think that they're right. The most likely to win anything. You know?
Sure. In terms of the story, the way that these stories play out, yeah.
But yeah, I'm super into this show. Only what, 3 episodes left? 8, 9, and 10.
Yes.
I'm so glad to have been enjoying it as much as I have been after not necessarily expecting to. It just to me keeps getting better and better. And this was Miguel Sapochnik who directed this episode too, and it was him who'd exited not that long ago, right?
Yeah. I think he announced it after the premiere. Yeah.
Definitely.
But I think he's done like two or three episodes this season he's directed. I think he might have directed the last one as well.
Right. Well, he's definitely
good. So yeah, he's
clearly,
he's a fantastic director and clearly, I think he's also said like, we'll direct episodes into season two and stuff beyond. He's just not the, you know, co-executive producer anymore.
Yes, that was the other thing he was listed as, so... Good for him.
Right.
Like, I just really enjoyed this episode, and it flew by, especially with how much of this was just kind of slow shots of not much happening, but it was all mood, right. and it was good.
Yeah, I loved that. Yeah, it's still a show that is willing to give its characters time to breathe, because that is how you develop characters.
Yeah.
Honestly. But yeah, fantastic episode. I agree. Driftmark, episode 7. That's another one in the books.
I need some fucking time to breathe now.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Adam, for not fainting during the episode. If anyone wants to get in touch, ariatalkingtomepod@gmail.com or ariatalkingtome on Instagram. Please, like, yeah, we said earlier, a bit of rate and reviewing, a bit of sharing of the posts would really help us out. We'd really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week for episode 8.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.